Well, yesterday, it happened in El Paso, Texas. They broke through razor wire fencing and knocked over guards in the process. A federal appeals court this week set a U.S. government requirement that cigarette packs and advertisements contain graphic warnings about the dangers of smoking is constitutional. It was a victory for the Biden administration and a defeat for the tobacco industry. This is SRN News.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today, a subject, resurrection, the believer's greatest hope. And I pray that you're looking forward to the celebration of this high holy day called Easter, if you prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday. That's wonderful. We're talking about the same event, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd love to hear from you today, 904-831-0917. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, this is Michael Orr.
Yes, sir.
I hope it's okay. I'm calling on a different subject, and I thought that your listeners would be very interested in hearing a speaker next week in Jacksonville, Florida. The topic is dollars and cents. And the sense is with an S, like good sense. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be talking about, you know, our rising debt, how it's sinking our nation. And I didn't know if you wanted me to tell a little bit more about it, but I know this is off the subject that we're on today for Easter and a resurrection.
Yeah, we'll just take a second, and so that we will not impinge the time for our focus today, but a second. Okay. Again, so state what is the subject and when, and then if you don't mind, call back one day next week and let's promote it on the broadcast. We'd love to do so.
Okay. Well, the speaker is next Tuesday, so maybe I'd call in Monday, and he's going to be speaking on our $34 trillion debt, a drive towards a digital currency control. Mm-hmm. He's going to be talking on what is inflation, what does the Constitution say about money, and talk about sound money and talk about the Federal Reserve and what we can possibly do about it.
And let me just do a little footnote on that for you. The fact is, the digital money is on the fast track. It'll be a way of tracing, tracking, controlling every human being in the United States of America, just as they're doing today in China. And we're looking forward to Bidenomics sinking America economically. And by the way, it's not just $34 trillion. That's above the line. It's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 trillion total if you look at what's below the line and above the line and what's called accounting today. And so we are watching the collapse, the implosion of the economic system in America. And so I look forward to hearing the speaker, looking forward to you giving further information for our listeners on that. But just a little further question for you. Are you looking forward to celebrating Easter? And if so, why?
Yes, I am. I've been listening to some of the callers in the discussion. I always celebrate Easter and Good Friday. You know, I am a Christian. I do believe in that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died on the cross for us.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Well, that is a focus today, and I'm thankful that we have the privilege to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, because if Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, we are still in our trespasses and sins. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26 and following, we're still dead in our trespasses and sins. But because he rose from the grave, the scripture says that he is the first fruits. That means he's the down payment. He is the deposit. He's the guarantee that we will rise again. So I am thankful for that, and I know that you are. Thank you so much for your call. Have a blessed day, and may we keep looking up. The realization that our redemption draweth nigh. Dr. Davis, I'm thankful that we have the privilege of covering this subject today. And I touched on briefly the swoon theory and the hallucination theory and the wrong tomb theory. But there's the stolen body theory, that Jesus' disciples paid the Roman guards to steal the body, to hide the body, so that it would appear that Jesus had arisen. Then there's the temporary burial theory. That is, that Jesus was buried in a grave that was just temporary, and his disciples secretly moved him to another burial place. Then the substitutionary theory, and that theory is that Jesus had a lookalike that died on the cross, was buried, and it was one that was a lookalike. It wasn't really Jesus at all. Now, perhaps our listeners may or may not be aware of it. That is the main theory of the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of the Islamic jihadists around the world. In fact, in their holy book called the Quran, in Surah, that is chapters 4, verse 157 and 158, it states it very clearly that it was a lookalike, a substitute, not Jesus Christ himself, that died on the cross. That undermines, tears down, and destroys anything that's called Christian theology, anything that will be the sacrificial death of Christ for our sins, and rose again, having victory over sin, death, and the grave. And then there's the old legend theory. The theory simply teaches that the resurrection of Jesus is only a myth. It's a legend. Resurrection is just a made-up story, that there's nothing to it. So I pray that all of these, quote, seven theories that are false teachings would not be in your belief system as our listeners today. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. You're invited to call. Let's talk about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can look at those seven theories, but let me make a transition, Dr. Davis. The best source for our information on the validity of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is found in the Bible,
Amen.
The truth
Amen.
Book.
Amen.
Dr. Davis, would you take a minute, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and read verses 20 through 34. Then we're going to talk about it from a central biblicist viewpoint. And now I've had some people down through the years say, what does it mean having a central biblicist viewpoint? Central biblicist viewpoint simply means that we take everything, looking at the scripture, and the scripture is the first, foremost, and final authority, not what somebody's written, not what somebody said, not what some sage of yesteryear might have said, but what is true today, and it is the truth of the Word of God. Read that 20th through the 34th verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15, verses 20 through 34.
Amen. So it says here, but now, that means right now, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Mm-hmm.
But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have, that's future perfect, mm-hmm. praise God, delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority, that means all governments, all powers,
right.
everything here.
Right.
For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Amen. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, that is an encouraging, enlightening, challenging unit of thought. We see what I call the pledge that's cited in those verses. But if you look at English grammar, it's a transition of thought. Because, you see, the previous verses were talking about those that are teaching the resurrection of the dead, that a person could displace and do something on behalf of someone else after they've died. In fact, in Mormonism, that is taught today. But it says, but now is Christ risen. As Dr. Davis just said, now. He's risen today.
Amen.
Not future tense, past tense, present tense. He's already risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now is Christ risen. And that in the Greek text is in what's called the present tense. It indicates he is risen and he's conquered death and become the first fruits. What does it mean, first fruits, Dr. Davis?
Well, when we look at the first fruits, Dr. Youngblood, that means, well, if we can put it in plain terms, that's the first time it ever happened
mm-hmm.
that way. So by him being, when we look at the first fruits, Old Testament, the first thing that came up out of the ground after they planted their plants was holy and consecrated to God.
Yes.
So in the very same manner, that's what happened with Christ. He became the first fruit.
Yes.
He was holy and consecrated unto God. So then afterwards, when we come along, because he's already made the down payment, and when we look at Old Testament terminology, there was also a term called ransom money.
Mm-hmm.
He paid the ransom for our souls.
He paid the price.
The down payment.
Mm-hmm.
So now we that come after him, we have that guaranteed because he performed that work.
Absolutely.
For us.
First fruits, indicating other fruits to come. Jesus is the first fruits from the dead, which is our down payment, our deposit, our guarantee
Amen.
That we will rise again.
Amen.
The grave cannot hold our body down. There was an old Negro spiritual, and I'm sure you have heard of it. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down.
Amen. Praise God.
I never will forget spending a Thanksgiving day in the Florida State Prison preaching to the inmates. There's some of them on death row. And never will forget hearing them sing that song. No instruments, no musical instruments, but they were singing it, making harmony.
Amen.
Ain't no grave going to hold my body down.
Amen.
I'll never forget
Amen.
That wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving
very
service.
Moving.
With them,
very
moving, absolutely. Because Amen. It's apropos that ain't no grave. That's poor grammar, but it makes the point. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. We have that guarantee, that assurance. I call it the pledge that's cited in the scripture from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The program that's communicated in that, Dr. Davis, is found in verse 21. For, gar, because that word since, that is by, the word by is the little Greek word dia, means through, the avenue, the access, since man came death, by man, that is the God-man, the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ,
Amen.
Came also the resurrection of the dead. You see, Dr. Davis, one of the things that our listeners perhaps need to grasp, some understand, that death is universal. Sin, that's the sin curse. Genesis chapter 3, first seven verses in particular. It is the death, and death is because of a disobedience to God, which is spelled S-I-N in the scripture. It's called sin. The fall of man. Then you find in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world, and death unto sin, so death by death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Amen. Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, because you're a sinner, and I'm a sinner, we're born sinners, the only way there can be any efficacious covering for our sin, beneficial covering, the covering for our sin is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. But if he had died and was buried and did not rise again, we would still be in our sins.
Amen.
We would still be dead in our trespasses and sins.
And then what I'm getting from that too, Dr. Youngblood, is what you just got finished saying, those two verses.
Mm-hmm.
If one man got up in the past, another man's going to get up in the future. That's you and I.
That's right. Guaranteed.
That man guaranteed our resurrection, because the scripture plainly says, by one man.
Man. Mm-hmm.
It didn't say by one God, because see, some people want to, let's say, confuse the fact that Christ was divine, and that's the reason why he got up from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not the reason why. He got up by the power of God. True.
Mm-hmm.
But God raised his physical, natural body, just like the same kind of body that we have, and then he gave him a glorified body.
Resurrected.
And that's what's going to happen with us.
That's right, a resurrected, glorified body.
Amen.
He was resurrected. And then when he ascended, he took on a glorified body. And because he got up out of the grave, we will. It's guaranteed and assured in the scripture. In fact, I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, the entire 58 verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a wonderful classic study on resurrection. And may I say, the sin's curse is death, but the Savior's cure is by man came also the resurrection of the dead.
By man.
Literally, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, became man to die and to rise again as our prototype. Death is not the final. Death is not the final. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, death is simply the open door to eternity. Death is when we step from this life over the threshold into all of eternity.
Amen.
Where man never dies, where there's no sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no weeping. It is simply blissful for all of eternity with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible gives us the assurance of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In fact, Dr. Davis, in Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter, verses 6 through 10, Matthew 28, verses 6 through 10, Jesus came up out of the grave.
Amen.
He resurrected. And in the Matthew 28 text, Dr. Davis will read it in just a moment, when there was the question about where was Jesus, he says, the angel spoke, said, he's not here. He's risen as he said he would.
Amen. And that's what it said.
Mm-hmm.
Verse number 6. He is not here. This is what the angel said to the women. For he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is, that's right now, risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at that, Dr. Youngblood, let me tie this other thought in. The reason why we don't have to celebrate Passover.
Yes.
Because Hebrews 4, chapter 4, and verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I don't know about you, but that does something for my faith. Praise God. I mean, that really lets me know right there, we need to hold firm to what we believe. And don't let nobody sway us away from believing in the resurrection of the dead.
That's
because
right.
Again, you read scriptures previously to this that said by man.
By man, by idea, through man.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
By man.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that first man was Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But by man, that same man also is going to come the resurrection. Because by Adam we die, but by Christ we live.
That's right. Both man. Man is the God-man. And the physical man, and then the God-man, Jesus Christ. There are two major evidences of the resurrection. And I have that in my book on page 47. First of all, the stone is gone. The stone is gone. In John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2, the scripture says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. So the first evidence, ladies and gentlemen, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the stone is gone. And if you've ever seen the depiction, the artist's depiction of the stone, keep in mind, here's the open sepulchre, the tomb. And there's a groove in front of that open sepulcher door, and it goes down. And the stone that I'm told was about 2,000 pounds was rolled down into the notch in place, and then a seal placed on that stone. The seal was placed there so that it would be, and placed there by the Roman soldiers, so that no one could remove the Roman seal, indicating that they had authority, and they closed the tomb door. Jesus got up out of that grave, and Jesus opened rolled the stone away. How is that possible if he were just a man?
Amen.
It was done because Jesus Christ is God incarnate, God come into flesh. The stone is gone. Then we find in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And early in the morning, the first day of the week, by the way, that's the reason we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Sunday, the first day of the week,
first day,
came unto the sepulchre and the rising of the sun. And they said unto themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right hand, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. Verse 6 says, and saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seeketh Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell the disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, and shall see you there, as he said he would. And they went quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And ladies and gentlemen, not just the stone is gone that proves one of the evidences of the resurrection. The Savior's gone.
Amen.
Matthew.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 6, a good text for that. I'll touch on it and ask Dr. Davis to respond. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was white as lightning, his raiment was white as snow. For the fear of him, the keepers of the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Jesus himself said that he would rise again. Now, Dr. Davis, I am always amazed at the misunderstanding, the immaturity of so many Christians today. And I don't mean that every Christian should be full adults as Christians, because we're still growing in the Word as we study the Word. In fact, the more I study the Word, the more I sense that I don't know. It is a ever-learning process. But why is it, in your opinion, your thoughts, that so many people say, well, Jesus never said he was going to rise again. Jesus never said that he was going to die on Calvary. Jesus never said that he was God. How do you respond to those illegitimate remarks by so many today?
Well, when we look at that, Dr. Youngblood, I have to wonder, what book are they reading?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're telling me that you have not read the Scriptures.
That's right.
Because there are so many places in the Bible where God gives, I mean, just for us,
mm-hmm.
reference of his son being raised from the dead.
Right.
But the one main thing I want to point out, and this is one I stand on this scripture.
Amen.
1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. I can just stop right there. Verse 9 said, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, again, these scriptures, this is the record that God gave us of his Son, his death, burial, and resurrection. So how is it that you can just afford, you can't even afford that. Mm. You can't afford to be steered away.
That's right.
From anything pertaining to the scripture if you are a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Christians should always believe this whole Bible. I'm not talking about just the New Testament.
Amen.
Some say we're New Testament Christian today, the Old Testament not needed.
No,
Joel Osteen, Osteen, and I think it's others, say it's irrelevant.
Andy Stanley is the one who says we need to jettison from the Old Testament.
Amen. But the entire Bible, the whole 66 books, to every Christian, is supposed to be the truth from cover to cover.
That's right.
So we're supposed to believe in it. But now, listen, the scripture goes on to say, this is in 1 John, and this is the record that God, verse number 11, that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Why? Because he was raised from the dead to give us eternal life.
Amen.
So then, my friend, if you don't believe in the scriptures the way that is written in here, then you're not believing the record that God gave us of his Son. So therefore, check yourself. You may not be going to heaven.
Absolutely. Check up, see if you be in the faith, as the scripture
Amen.
Says.
Amen.
Dr. Davis, getting back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And then it goes on to talk about the two types, celestial and terrestrial bodies. Verse 44 and following, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, speaking of Jesus. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 51 and following, I must read this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The 55th verse and following, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a myth. It's not some phantom. It is the living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that died on the cross, shed his rich red royal blood, and was raised again. Matthew 16:21 says, for that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again. Verse 28 of Mark 4. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ said that he would die on Calvary's cross. He said that he would be raised again. And because Jesus Christ was buried, rose again, it's our deposit, our down payment, our guarantee that we shall rise again.
Amen.
Dr. Davis, thank you for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295.